We are reading in the book of Acts today, as we are a church reading through the books of Luke and Acts. This is the beginning of the message on Acts, when the Holy Spirit was poured out upon those early disciples, and all kinds of chaos broke out as they were speaking in all kinds of tongues and different languages. It must have been something, kind of like what we experienced up here with the kids' message. A little chaos. So I want to say thank you, parents, for bringing your kids and allowing them to experience this. As that chaos takes place, the Spirit's at work, and they're growing in faith. So continue doing that good work. Well done. Let's give them a round of applause. And Cheryl, keep talking about Jesus. Just keep talking about Jesus. It's hard to stop talking about good news. You know, in front of Walmart this week, there was a group of young men that were raising funds for a Christian-based recovery program. They were really excited, trying to talk to anybody that came by, and they were eager to share, you know, if you would stop, about the program, what it had done for them, and about the opportunity that it created for other people to come and find that grace and healing. I was a little reluctant, as I always am, to walk up to something like that, but I did just to see what's going on. They were talking about Jesus, so I don't really want to listen to their message and then say, oh, I'm sorry, I don't have any cash on me, which is actually the truth. But I went up there anyway and visited. It really seemed like good news to them. And honestly, it was good news for me too, because it was hope that I was hearing in their voices about how God could transform lives of people caught in addiction, just like them, and find freedom and joy in life. And it was actually Cheryl who went and got some cash for us so I could get something. And when I actually came back after shopping, the person behind there, the young man, recognized me, and he was like all lit up, and I gave him a gift, and he just expressed all of his gratitude towards me and blessed me. So in today's message, just like that, we learn that it's really hard to stop talking about good news. So let me catch up on this series about how we read the Bible. We're going through again the book of Luke, Acts. It's really one book with two volumes. So we finished the first, the Gospel of Luke, and now the author Luke is writing about to Theophilus about what he had already written, reminding him about the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And now he's about to talk about what takes place from here on out as the Holy Spirit, the promised Spirit, is poured out on the church, just as Jesus said. So in today's reading, in chapter 1 through chapter 6, a lot takes place. So I'm going to focus on a passage in chapter 5 today, but I'm going to catch you up to that point. So Jesus, he is the Messiah, the Son of God. He came to usher in the kingdom of God with his coming on earth, with Jesus coming. He began his ministry full of the Holy Spirit. At his baptism, the Spirit came on him, and he was full of the Holy Spirit, and he demonstrated the inbreaking of the kingdom with the authority given him to teach and do miracles. So he ministered in Galilee, and he journeyed toward his final destination in Jerusalem, where he had foretold his disciples that he would go there. He would be accused, falsely accused, and tried. He'd be crucified and buried. And then on the third day, he would rise from the tomb. When that happened, when he died and was buried, his followers were devastated, thinking that their hopes for this promised Messiah and the coming of the kingdom of God was over. But then the third day came along, and the tomb was empty. After his resurrection, he gave convincing proofs. He met with his disciples. He was alive, and they witnessed to him. He taught them, and then he ascended into heaven. And the disciples waited in Jerusalem for that promise that he had said the Holy Spirit would come. And then on Pentecost, that day, the Holy Spirit arrived, and the apostles, formerly known as disciples, now apostles, began to proclaim Jesus' death and resurrection and the forgiveness of sins in his name. And the community of believers, again now known as the church, was born. As people heard the message, they believed it, they responded, put their faith in Jesus, and joined this early community of Jesus' followers. So now the not yet, the now and not yet kingdom of heaven is breaking in all around them as the apostles are performing signs and wonders and miracles just like Jesus. And they're proclaiming the good news with power and authority just like Jesus. This is the boldness of his message. He replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the promised gift of the Holy Spirit." So it's the continuation of the mission that Jesus began. They were spirit-empowered witnesses. Jesus told them that's what they would be. And they were part of this unstoppable mission to the ends of the earth. And the title of this message today is Unstoppable Good News. Now, if you're taking notes, I'm going to give you the application up front. You don't have to wait. I'm going to do it right now. The so what? After you leave today, you're going to walk out and go, now what was he saying? So what? It's like, this is it. If you wake up tomorrow morning and go, what was Pastor Tim preaching on Sunday? You'll be like, oh yeah, it's this. Are you ready? Yes. All right. Just keep talking about Jesus. That's it. Just keep talking about Jesus. If you're online with us today, type that in the chat, just keep talking about Jesus. As we begin or walk through this scripture, I'm going to kind of give you a setup. We'll get to that passage that you heard read today. But there's an event that happens that results in what's called great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events in Acts chapter 5. It was the deaths of Ananias and Sapphira. They were, the Holy Spirit was quickly stamping out any deceit that was taking place within this early community of believers. And the passage reminds us that you can't fight against God. There was holy fear, and it revealed that God is behind this new community and what they are doing. And so what did the apostles do when this fear swept the community? They just kept talking about Jesus. As we get to the end of chapter 2, the apostles were performing signs and wonders. All the believers were meeting together in the temple courts. People were added to their numbers daily. They were being healed. And through it all, the disciples didn't stop. They just kept talking about Jesus. And what was happening in Jerusalem? At that point, it says no one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. But they knew the message they were preaching was unstoppable, that somebody was going to hear it, somebody was going to respond. So they just kept talking about Jesus. In verse 14, it says, "Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number." This is great news, right? Awesome news. The church is growing. Jesus is being revealed. The kingdom of heaven is breaking in. Everyone's excited. Not really. We just go one more verse, and it says, in verse 17, the high priest and all the associates who were members of the Sadducees, the party of the Sadducees, the ruling party, were filled with jealousy. They were jealous. Jealous of what? Well, jealous of all the attention that the apostles were getting. I mean, they were doing signs and wonders and miracles of God, and they were supposed to be the ones in charge. They were supposed to be the ones to share all of this with others. So then the high priest and all the Sadducees who were members of the party were filled with jealousy. So what did they do? What's their response to this good news? They arrested the apostles and put them in jail. Jealousy can cause a lot of problems, even in the church sometimes. You know, the church is called to be a light bearer to the nations. Just like the nation of Israel was called to be a light bearer to the nations. Those Sadducees and Pharisees that had become jealous of what the apostles were doing, that was their role. It really was. They were called to be light bearers to the nation. And God had sent what they had hoped for and wanted, a promised Messiah, but they rejected him. They didn't believe. They turned away from him and became jealous. Jesus called his disciples in Matthew 5:14. He said, "You are the light of the world." And in Acts chapter 4, it says, salvation is found in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. The name of Jesus. The disciples chose to keep talking about Jesus. You and I, whenever we are facing struggles or jealousy or wondering why God hasn't done this to me or why is God doing this for someone else and leaving me behind, is for us to not be jealous of that, but to remember our mission is just to keep talking about Jesus. Just keep talking about Jesus. So the Jewish nation was called to that mission, but the disciples chose to do it. Overnight, an angel of the Lord opened the doors and brought them out, saying, they were thrown in jail. An angel came and said, go stand in the temple courts and tell the people all about this new life. In other words, go talk about Jesus. Central to this passage, I think, for the apostles is their obedience. Somebody is going to hear the message. Somebody is going to respond. So what do they do? At daybreak, they enter the temple courts as they had been told by the angel and began to teach the people. And the full assembly, then they were at a loss to understand what had happened to the apostles when they went to get them out of jail. They weren't there. They found them teaching in the temple. And they decided that they were going to have to bring them in and talk to them about this. But it's interesting. It says they, fearing the crowds that may stone them, because the apostles had favor with the people, they were highly regarded by the people. More and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. And at that, the captain went out with his officials and brought the apostles. They did not use force because they feared that the people would stone them. So this movement kept growing. They were continuing to preach. People were being added to number. The light was shining in all the cracks of Jerusalem, and the people were responding. And we come to our passage today. As we pick up in verse 27, it says, the apostles were brought in and made to appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. So again, the ruling council. He said, we gave you strict orders not to teach in the name of Jesus. He said, yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood. Peter and the other disciples replied, we must obey God rather than human beings. Now, if we think about what happened to the disciples, they were there when Jesus was raised from the tomb. They met him. They touched him. They ate with him. They knew this to be true. And Jesus commissioned them and empowered them through the Holy Spirit to go out and share that message with everyone around them. God gave them this message. He proved it in signs and wonders and told them to go. And now they have somebody saying, don't do it. What do you think they did? They just kept talking about Jesus. Why? Because they had a deep conviction in their hearts that it's true. It's the message of salvation. It's God's message to the whole world. They can't stop just because somebody says, don't do it. It's who they are. It's a God-given call. And so they go. Paul responds, the God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging on the cross. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Savior, that he might bring Israel to repentance and forgive their sins. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey. And how did that all turn out? When the Pharisees and when the Sadducees and the rulers heard this, they were furious and wanted to put them to death. Kill the messenger, and the message dies. That's what they believed. They believed this was stoppable, and it needed to end now. It's not a new idea today. There's plenty of opposition to the good news of the gospel that we share. I just read last week another pastor in the largest underground church in China was taken into custody and hasn't been seen. Stop the messenger, and the message dies. Or so, that's what is believed. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, I think Donna did a great job of reading his name. I've heard this pronounced Gamaliel, Gamaliel, Gamma something, but I'm just going to go with Gamaliel. A teacher of the law, who was honored by all the people, stood up in the Sanhedrin and ordered that the men be put outside for a little while. Then he addressed the Sanhedrin, "Men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do to these men." Remember, what they intend to do is to kill them. And then he talks about a person named Thaddeus who appeared and claimed to be somebody and gathered 400 men around him. And then he was killed and the followers dispersed and it all came to nothing. One example. Then he gave another example. After him, Judas the Galilean, he appeared in the time of the census. A bunch of people revolted and gathered around him. He was killed and all of his followers were scattered. So therefore, he says, in this present case with these apostles, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. I think we need to remember that. If something is done on our own human power or in this world under human authority, it's destined to fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourself fighting against God. Gamaliel's advice is this: just let them keep talking about Jesus. If it's not of God, it'll come to nothing. But if it is, you can't stop it. This verse speaks, I think, a message for the church today. If we're confident in the message of the gospel, which we are, and if we truly believe that God sent his Son as Messiah and Savior of the world, which we do believe, then there's nothing that can stop our mission except ourselves. If we stop talking about Jesus, God has sent his Spirit into the church, into you and me. He is blowing in a revival and a renewing that is filling us with power and boldness to proclaim the good news of the gospel with all the world around us. He's called us to be unstoppable witnesses to his plan to be a light to the world. This isn't some new idea. This was the plan since the foundations of the earth. And we just need to keep talking about Jesus. The Holy Spirit has already arranged that somebody is going to hear you. Somebody is going to respond. Just keep talking about Jesus. God's plan can't fail. And Gamaliel is telling the truth. Nobody can fight against God and win. So let me take a moment here to stop and get as direct as the Pharisee was with the Sanhedrin. If you find yourself on the wrong side of the God equation, if you find yourself fighting against God for whatever reason, maybe even seems like a really good reason, then you have two choices. One, lose the fight and live with the consequences. Or two, do as Peter says. Repent, believe, be forgiven. Be filled with the Holy Spirit and invite the Holy Spirit to help you to walk a life of obedience to God and fulfill his plan. The message of the good news is truly unstoppable, and it is for you and me as well. So now we're coming to the end of this passage. Gamaliel has persuaded the Sanhedrin, this ruling council, sort of, to let them go. Luke writes, they called the apostles in and had them flogged. Then he ordered them not to speak about Jesus, and he let them go. Now, sort of, I say, because being flogged is a very brutal punishment that is nearly a death sentence. It was sure probably to be a lesson to the disciples that if they thought they could go out and do this again, they better think twice, because next time it's going to cost them their lives. So the unstoppable good news often has the opposite effect. Listen what Luke writes. Remember, they were just flogged, nearly dead. The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. I'm going to say that one more time. The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing. Say rejoicing. Now, if this doesn't make you go, then it should. Because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. The name is Jesus. So what causes that kind of response to suffering? I think that response comes through that fullness of the Holy Spirit that further empowers them with this kind of defiant confidence in the victory that Jesus has won in spite of what they're suffering. And I believe that part of this empowered witness that we have to the world around us is in our deepest times of suffering and trial. That when they see the disciples responding with not sorrow and pain and running away, but rather boldness and joy, then there has to be something behind this message, something that is unseen, something powerful, and it invites others to take a deeper look. So maybe you and I, maybe, we could view suffering for Jesus' sake in a little different way. Not so much as an inconvenience, or even worse, as an undeserved catastrophe, but maybe this passage is reminding us that suffering is part of that deeper identifying with our Savior. And in a deep, unexpected way, provides a connection with Jesus that we can only find in suffering, and that actually results in our rejoicing in His victory in ways that we can't without suffering. I'm not asking for it. We're not inviting it. But responding differently to it, I think that's our call. So it is the upside-down example of the unstoppable nature of the kingdom of God. So we read what the outcome is. It says, day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. They couldn't stop talking about Jesus. They knew people were going to hear their message, and they knew that the Holy Spirit had already orchestrated that some people would respond. And it's exactly what happened in the next chapter. In chapter 6, verse 1, we read, when the number of the disciples was increasing, and then in verse 7, the word of God spread, and the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. So the message of new life in Jesus' name is God's unstoppable plan to bring salvation to all the ends of the world. So as a believer, following Jesus, you are empowered by the Holy Spirit to be a witness to the ends of the earth. And like the apostles, you are called to just keep talking about Jesus. No matter what you face, no matter what you feel the outcome is in the moment, just keep talking about Jesus. The church is a mission outpost to the world. So when things get difficult or it seems challenging or uncertain in the way forward for the church, our mission is one thing. Just keep talking about Jesus. I invite you to turn to someone beside you and say that to them. Just keep talking about Jesus. Just keep talking about Jesus. Somebody is going to hear your message, and somebody is going to respond. The message is unstoppable. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word today, and thank you, Lord, that you have called us to this mission as your church. Confident, Lord, that this is your plan. Confident that you will bring an outcome when it seems like all things look like failure. Lord, it is a joy to serve you in the kingdom. It is a joy to experience when someone comes to faith in you. You say that all of heaven and earth rejoices over, all of heaven rejoices over one sinner who repents. And Lord, that is what we experience as well. The joy of the kingdom of heaven breaking in all around us as lives are changed, transformed, saved, and brought into the light of the kingdom of heaven. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here today who finds themselves again on the wrong side of that equation in a battle with you, God, I would invite you, Holy Spirit, to bring that transforming grace to their lives. If that is you, if you feel like you're in that battle, I encourage you to repent, which simply means to turn back to God. Ask Him for forgiveness. Allow the Holy Spirit, invite the Holy Spirit into your life to be filled with His power, His presence, His guidance, His truth, that you may walk in the light of the good news. It begins with a simple prayer. Jesus, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit that I may walk with you and share with others the good news of the kingdom of God. We pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people share. Amen.